You have no water. He glanced at the group behind Howitt. How many of your wounded would you spend? Howitt fell silent, staring at the man. He could see as a mentat that their communication was out of phase. Word sounds were not being linked up here in the normal manner.
I am Thufir Howitt, he said. I can speak for my duke. I will make promissory commitment now for your help. I wish a limited form of help, preserving my force long enough only to kill a traitor who thinks herself beyond vengeance.
You wish our siding in a vendetta?
The vendetta I'll handle myself. I wish to be freed of responsibility for my wounded, that I may get about it.
The Fremen scowled.
How can you be responsible for your wounded? They are their own responsibility. The water is at issue, Thufir Howitt. Would you have me take that decision away from you?
The man put a hand to a weapon concealed beneath his robe. Howitt tensed, wondering,
Is there betrayal here?
What do you fear? The Fremen demanded.
These people and their disconcerting directness.
Howitt spoke cautiously.
There's a price on my head.
Ah!
The Fremen removed his hand from his weapon.
You think we have the Byzantine corruption. You don't know us. The Harkonnens have not water enough to buy the smallest child among us.
But they had the price of guild passage for more than 2,000 fighting ships,
Howitt thought, and the size of that price still staggered him.
We both fight Harkonnens, Howitt said. Should we not share the problems and ways of meeting the battle issue?
We are sharing, the Fremen said. I have seen you fight, Harkonnens. You are good. There have been times I'd have appreciated your arm beside me.
Say where my arm may help you,
Howitt said.
Who knows? The Fremen asked. There are Harkonnen forces everywhere. But you still have not made the water decision, or put it to your wounded.
I must be cautious, Howitt told himself. There's a thing here that's not understood.
He said,
Will you show me your way, the Arakene way?
Stranger thinking,
the Fremen said, and there was a sneer in his tone. He pointed to the northwest across the clifftop.
We watched you come across the sand last night.
He lowered his arm.
You keep your force on the slip face of the dunes. Bad. You have no still suits, no water. You will not last long.
The ways of Arrakis don't come easily, Howitt said.
Truth. But we've killed Harkonnens.
What do you do with your own wounded?
Howitt demanded.
Does a man not know when he is worth saving? The Fremen asked. Your wounded know you have no water.
He tilted his head, looking sideways up at Howitt.
This is clearly a time for water decision. Both wounded and unwounded must look to the tribe's future.
The tribe's future, Howitt thought. The tribe of Atreides. There's sense in that.
He forced himself to the question he had been avoiding.
Have you word of my duke or his son?
Unreadable blue eyes stared upward into Howitt's.
Word?
Their fate,
Howitt snapped.
Fate is the same for everyone, the Fremen said. Your duke, it is said, has met his fate. As to the Lizan al-Gaib, his son, that is in Liet's hands. Liet has not said.
I knew the answer without asking,
Howitt thought. He glanced back at his men. They were all awake now. They had heard. They were staring out across the sand, the realization in their expressions. There was no returning to Caladan for them, and now Arrakis was lost. Howitt turned back to the Fremen.
Have you heard of Duncan Idaho?
He was in the great house when the shield went down, the Fremen said. This I've heard. No more.
She dropped the shield and let in the Harkonnens, he thought. I was the one who sat with my back to a door. How could she do this, when it meant turning also against her own son? But who knows how a Bene Gesserit witch thinks, if you can call it thinking?
Howitt tried to swallow in a dry throat.
When will you hear about the boy?
We know little of what happens in Arakeen, the Fremen said.
He shrugged.
Who knows?
You have ways of finding out?
Perhaps.
The Fremen rubbed at the scar beside his nose.
Tell me, Thufir Howitt, do you have knowledge of the big weapons the Harkonnens used?
The artillery,
Howitt thought bitterly.
Who could have guessed they'd use artillery in this day of shields? You refer to the artillery they used to trap our people in the caves, he said. I've theoretical knowledge of such explosive weapons.
Any man who retreats into a cave which has only one opening deserves to die, the Fremen said.
Why do you ask about these weapons?
Liat wishes it.
Is that what he wants from us?
Howitt wondered. He said,
Did you come here seeking information about the big guns?
Liat wished to see one of the weapons for himself.
Then you should just go take one, Howitt sneered.
Yes, the Fremen said. We took one. We have it hidden where Stilgar can study it for Liat, and where Liat can see it for himself if he wishes. But I doubt he'll want to. The weapon is not a very good one. Poor design for Arrakis.
You took one? Howitt asked.
It was a good fight, the Fremen said. We lost only 2 men, and spilled the water from more than 100 of theirs.
There were Sardaukar at every gun, Howitt thought. This desert madman speaks casually of losing only 2 men against Sardaukar.
We would not have lost the 2 except for those others fighting beside the Harkonnens, the Fremen said. Some of those are good fighters.
One of Howitt's men limped forward, looked down at the squatting Fremen.
Are you talking about Sardaukar?
He's talking about Sardaukar, Howitt said.
Sardaukar, the Fremen said, and there appeared to be glee in his voice.
Ah, so that's what they are. This was a good night indeed. Sardaukar, which legion, do you know?
We don't know, Howitt said.
Sardaukar, the Fremen mused. Yet they wear Harkonnen clothing. Is that not strange?
The Emperor does not wish it known he fights against a great house, Howitt said.
But you know they are Sardaukar.
Who am I?
Howitt asked bitterly.
You are Thufir Howitt, the man said matter-of-factly.
Well, we would have learned it in time. We've sent 3 of them captive to be questioned by Liat's men.
Howitt's aide spoke slowly, disbelief in every word.
You captured Sardaukar?
Only 3 of them, the Fremen said. They fought well.
If only we'd had the time to link up with these Fremen, Howitt thought.
It was a sour lament in his mind.
If only we could have trained them and armed them. Great Mother, what a fighting force we'd have had.
Perhaps you delay because of worry over the Lizan al-Gaib, the Fremen said. If he is truly the Lizan al-Gaib, harm cannot touch him. Do not spend thoughts on a matter which has not been proved.
I serve the Lizan al-Gaib, Howitt said. His welfare is my concern. I've pledged myself to this.
You are pledged to his water?
Howitt glanced at his aide, who was still staring at the Fremen, returned his attention to the squatting figure.
To his water, yes.
You wish to return to Arrakeen, to the place of his water?
To the place of his water.
Why did you not say at first it was a water matter?
The Fremen stood up, seated his nose plugs firmly. Howitt motioned with his head for his aide to return to the others. With a tired shrug, the man obeyed. Howitt heard a low-voiced conversation arise among the men. The Fremen said,
There is always a way to water.
Behind Howitt, a man cursed. Howitt's aide called,
Thufir, Arki just died.
The Fremen put a fist to his ear.
The bond of water, it's a sign.
He stared at Howitt.
We have a place nearby for accepting the water. Shall I call my men?
The aide returned to Howitt's side, said,
Thufir, a couple of the men left wives in Arrakeen. They're, well, you know how it is at a time like this.
The Fremen still held his fist to his ear.
Is it the bond of water, Thufir Howitt?
He demanded. Howitt's mind was racing. He sensed now the direction of the Fremen's words, but feared the reaction of the tired men under the rock overhang when they understood it.
The bond of water, Howitt said.
Let our tribes be joined, the Fremen said,
and he lowered his fist. As though that were the signal, 4 men slid and dropped down from the rocks above them. They darted back under the overhang, rolled the dead man in a loose robe, lifted him, and began running with him along the cliff wall to the right. Spurts of dust lifted around their running feet. It was over before Howitt's tired men could gather their wits. The group with the body hanging like a sack in its enfolding robe was gone around a turn in the cliff. One of Howitt's men shouted,
Where are they going with Arki? He was...
They're taking him to...
Bury him,
Howitt said.
Fremen don't bury their dead, the man barked. Don't you try any tricks on us, Thufir. We know what they do. Arki was one of...
Paradise were sure for a man who died in the service of Lizan al-Ghaib, the Fremen said. If it is the Lizan al-Ghaib you serve, as you have said it, why raise mourning cries? The memory of one who died in this fashion will live as long as the memory of man endures.
But Howitt's men advanced, angry looks on their faces. One had captured a laser gun. He started to draw it.
Stop right where you are,
Howitt barked. He fought down the sick fatigue that gripped his muscles.
These people respect our dead. Customs differ, but the meaning's the same.
They're going to render Arki down for his water, the man with the laser gun snarled.
Is it that your men wish to attend the ceremony? The Fremen asked.
He doesn't even see the problem, Howitt thought.
The naivete of the Fremen was frightening.
They're concerned for a respected comrade, Howitt said.
We will treat your comrade with the same reverence we treat our own, the Fremen said. This is the bond of water. We know the rights. A man's flesh is his own. The water belongs to the tribe.
Howitt spoke quickly as the man with the laser gun advanced another step.
Will you now help our wounded?
One does not question the bond, the Fremen said. We will do for you what the tribe does for its own. First, we must get all of you suited and see to the necessities.
The man with the laser gun hesitated. Howitt's aide said,
Are we buying help with Arki's water?
Not buying, Howitt said.
We've joined these people.
Customs differ, one of his men muttered.
Howitt began to relax.
And they'll help us get to Arrakeen?
We will kill Harkonnens, the Fremen said.
He grinned.
And Sardaukar.
He stepped backward, cupped his hands beside his ears, and tipped his head back, listening. Presently, he lowered his hands, said,
An aircraft comes. Conceal yourselves beneath the rock and remain motionless.
At a gesture from Howitt, his men obeyed. The Fremen took Howitt's arm, pressed him back with the others.
We will fight in the time of fighting, the man said.
He reached beneath his robes, brought out a small cage, lifted a creature from it. Howitt recognized a tiny bat. The bat turned its head and Howitt saw its blue within blue eyes. The Fremen stroked the bat, soothing it, crooning to it. He bent over the animal's head, allowed a drop of saliva to fall from his tongue into the bat's upturned mouth. The bat stretched its wings, but remained on the Fremen's opened hand. The man took a tiny tube, held it beside the bat's head, and chattered into the tube. Then, lifting the creature high, he threw it upward. The bat swooped away beside the cliff and was lost to sight. The Fremen folded the cage, thrust it beneath his robe. Again he bent his head, listening.
They quarter the high country, he said. One wonders who they seek up there.
It's known that we retreated in this direction, Howitt said.
One should never presume one is the sole object of a hunt, the Fremen said. Watch the other side of the basin. You will see a thing.
Time passed. Some of Howitt's men stirred, whispering.
Remain silent as frightened animals, the Fremen hissed.
Howitt discerned movement near the opposite cliff, flitting blurs of tan on tan.
My little friend carried his message, the Fremen said. He is a good messenger, day or night. I'll be unhappy to lose that one.
The movement across the sink faded away. On the entire 4 to 5 kilometer expanse of sand, nothing remained but the growing pressure of the day's heat, blurred columns of rising air.
Be most silent now, the Fremen whispered.
A file of plodding figures emerged from a break in the opposite cliff, headed directly across the sink. To Howitt they appeared to be Fremen, but a curiously inept band. He counted 6 men making heavy going of it over the dunes. A thwack-thwack of ornithopter wings sounded high to the right behind Howitt's group. The craft came over the cliff wall above them, and Atreides' thopter with Harkonnen battle colors splashed on it.